Hi everyone, welcome to the Power Pod, a space to elevate your life and help you feel more powerful. My name is Alexa and I am the host of this podcast and best-selling author of Power to Persevere. My goal is to help you improve your life through wellness tips and motivation and support you on your journey through life. Make sure you stay tuned for new episodes weekly. Hello everyone. Okay, so here's the news. Here's the stitch. I have changed recording platforms from Zencastr to Riverside, and I had a little bit of a technical difficulty while I was recording the former part of this episode with the DL girls. Little recap of what you have missed in the primitive part of this conversation. Actually, not primitive, because a lot of the information coming is going to be super pivotal for you to tune into. But first of all, we start off talking about our childhood. We all went to an all-girls Catholic high school, and then they also did middle school all-girls too. So we talked about a little bit of our similarities there, how an all-girls education really and truly transformed them into the woman who they are today, the powerful woman who they are today, and allowed them to realize that, you know what, they can have a say in anything and everything that they do, and they have the power to persevere in the workforce through their femininity. So that's number one. Number two, also found out that Caroline and I went to the same college for a hot second. I ended up transferring out of that school. She ended up staying there and graduating, and then went into sales and trading. And Lizzie, she went to school for dance because she just loved it so much. She went to a top performing dance school in New York City at Pace University. So that's what was discussed in the first 15 minutes on here, but I'm going to pop our conversation from the point of when we got our Wi-Fi back completely. So let's dive in. College.
Yeah, that was pretty much it. I had a good experience. I've always loved fashion and been super interested in it, but not in a way that I needed to be a merchandising major. I didn't want anything to do with being in fashion merchandising. And so I've just ultimately found my way back to it, but it was just sort of a longer path.
Yeah, for sure. Isn't that funny, though? Sometimes you're, like, brought back to where your heart always was, because I'm experiencing the same thing right now. Like, I went to business school, then I had to, you know, drop out for a year because I was diagnosed with cancer and I had to undergo chemotherapy, which is wild to even comprehend at 19 years old.
Oh my God.
And then I started chemo like a few days after I turned 20. We can like talk about that another time. Crazy, right? But then I thought I had to be someone else. Like, I thought I had to work in finance. I thought I had to do all the things that not only like parents wanted from you, like especially like immigrant family mindset and like what you think the society wants from you. Mm-hmm. But like what you want is always totally different, and it'll somehow, some way come back around. Because I was working, like, I hated marketing. I was like, I don't want to be a marketer. I want to be a designer.
Yeah.
So it's like full circle. I'm now doing design, like after years of just like putting it under the rug. I don't have my own company yet, working on that soon to be launched. Yay. I know, so fun. So I like had this mental like breakdown. I was like, what do I want for my life? And it was about like a year and a half ago, last year, and I was like, I don't want to be doing this. Like, I want to be in design. Let me first change my 9-to-5 to design, and then while I'm in a happy mindset, at least I can come home and work on my design stuff.
Definitely.
So is that what you were kind of doing? Like, how was the transition like for you?
I mean, luckily for you, though, you had that breakdown moment where you then have an opportunity to sort of like rebrand yourself or rebuild what you want, because a lot of people, they're hoping for that moment. Like, they know that they are feeling stuck in what they're doing and they don't like what they're doing, but they are searching for that moment of clarity where they're like, what is the answer? What should I be doing? Where should I be going?
Right.
And I eventually had that moment for myself, but it took a really long time.
And what did it look like for you?
Well, I guess it was sort of twofold. It was kind of coming up during before the pandemic.
Yeah.
I felt incredibly stuck. Like, there's no other way to say it. I just like got like I remember feeling like tight in my chest all the time and going to work and feeling just kind of like a fraud. Like I really didn't like
it. And your throat too, right? Like your throat was tight.
Yes. And I would talk to my sister about it all the time. And I just sort of had to simplify my life, I think, and start to listen to myself. So I ended up going to see a business coach.
Oh, wow.
Sort of like a life coach.
Wow.
She gave me a lot of clarity on a lot of things. And then the pandemic hit and we started this business. Mm-hmm. I quit my full-time job and I
ended
up in a relationship all within like 4 months of each other. Like I just, yeah.
Oh my God. That's so much energetic releasing. Wait, the same thing kind of happened to me. I ended a relationship. I had a breakdown at like work. I was like, I can't do this anymore. I signed up for a design certification program.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I'm full. That's it. I was like, I can't live like this anymore. Like for me to not be living from my heart center, especially like everything I've been through, I was like, I'm just doing a disservice to the gifts that God wants me to be serving on this planet. I was like, no, I'm going in. Like, I don't know what it looks like, but this is what I'm being told to do next.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And like listening to that is, I think, the hardest part because it's scary and you don't really know where it's going to lead you. But
right,
there's a point in time where it's harder to hold it in than it is to listen to it.
And yeah,
that's what it got to for me. I was constantly like replaying and thinking about all these different scenarios in my mind. And it wasn't until I took action that I was like, I'm just willing to take on the risk. If it stinks, it stinks. But I'm so sick of feeling the way that I'm feeling.
Mm. And how old were you? 27?
26, 27-ish. Yeah.
And Lizzie, what was going through your head at this time? Like what, I mean, let's like dive into you.
Yeah. Very different. We grew up dancing together competitively and then it got time to, you know, start thinking about college and I had two choices. I'd either go to a school just for academics and maybe dance or do dance clubs on the side, or I had the option to start auditioning for college programs. And I just remember thinking when I was entering my like junior, senior year of high school, like I can't stop dancing. Like I never really thought about it as a career, but I just thought like, I can't stop. Like, I don't know what this is going to look like. And some people start dancing when they're little and they know they're going to be a ballet dancer. They know they want to do theater. They know they want to be a Rockette. And for me, that wasn't the case. It just came to a point when I was in my senior year of high school where I was like, I just can't stop. So I ended up auditioning for some programs. Got into Pace University's commercial dance program, which was my dream school. One of the best in the country.
Yeah.
But it was really like, if I didn't really get in there, the other ones that I went to and auditioned at were just missing the mark. And I was like really struggling. My mom will tell you, like, I was so unsure on what to do. But once I got into Pace, I was like, this feels right for me. Moving to New York at a fresh 18-year-old, I was like, now I just felt, yesterday was like 9 years in New York for me. And
wow,
it's huge. Like I think about it and I had no idea the opportunity, the friends, the amount New York has had on me is, I have no words for it, but.
I have to say, I totally agree.
Yeah.
I grew up here my whole life and every one of my friends has gone through this where like, we don't want to be here anymore. But then for some reason we're dragged back. And now in retrospect, we're reflecting on our like early 20s and we were freaking out about being here. It's just too chaotic. We're like, wait, actually, I'm glad I stayed.
Yeah.
Because of how many connections you're making 100%. And how much opportunity you have at your fingertips. 100%. It's like such a blessing living here.
I mean, it works in both of my, I feel like sometimes I have like a split life. Like I like have like my dance life and then I have our like DL life. They overlap a lot, but in both scenarios, like New York is pivotal. I started taking classes with some of my mentors when I was 18 in college. Like I didn't have to wait until I graduated and moved to New York. I basically feel like I got like a 4-year jump start.
Yeah.
If I had gone to school for dance somewhere else, I feel like I would have been like that much behind. But in the same way for our business now, we owe so much to New York. The people we meet, the connections we make is how we develop these partnerships and how we've grown our business to where it is now.
We say that all the time.
Yeah.
Like
New York City has built this business with us,
yeah.
period. There is no yeah. way that we would be where we are or have sort of grown so fast in the first year without being in New York.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
It's just...
So let's dive into that. Let's dive into the business. So what was the first conversation like when you both, you two sisters, mm-hmm. came to each other and were like, we have more for life. We want to do more. Like, what did that look like?
I mean, it wasn't so much us coming together. It was more like Caroline. She's like, she kind of mentioned earlier, she's always had a yearning for something more. And she used to pitch yes. me ideas for different brands, draw up different logos, think of different company names. And I'd be like, I don't really know. Not saying she wanted me involved.
That's like me.
And then during the pandemic, we ended up going back to our parents' house for like 5 months with one bag of clothes. And we thought we'd be there for 2 weeks, ended up being 5 months. And all we were doing was working out. And it was the one thing keeping us sane. And we were ordering workout clothes. We didn't really like the way they fit. They either fit really well and weren't cute, or they were really cute and like were falling down during our workouts. So Caroline looked at me and was like, why don't we just start our own brand? We can make them the way we want. We can make really functional, fashion forward activewear. And I was like, okay, it kind of really makes sense for us. You know, she's always had this knack for fashion. We both had a knack for movement. And
yeah,
the first idea she pitched for, I was like, yeah, we could do this. And then honestly, the next day, Caroline got on like Indeed or Upwork and got like 11 different designers in meetings. And we took meetings with like 11 different people. We brainstormed names. We did the whole thing. And then we really just,
it just sort of snowballed. Yeah.
Yeah.
And if someone had told us like the barriers that would have come, we wouldn't have done it. But in the moment, it was like, yeah, we're going to do it. And we're just going to go for it.
And so what did you learn during this time?
What did we learn?
Yeah.
Everything. Oh, man. Oh, my God.
What were some very important skills that you learned, life moments, memories, just like an overall scope of what you learned? Like, what's first coming to you when I ask the question? Like, what did you learn when you started like reaching out to people, when you started to build a business? Because that's so intense.
Yeah. Yeah. I've learned that I have like incredible faith in me and Lizzie.
Yes.
You have no idea what you're capable of.
Yeah.
Until you put yourself in uncomfortable situations. And you learn that you are capable of so much more. You know, like a lot of owning a business and starting this stuff is you. 90% of it is grit and the other 10% is glam. But 90% of it, 95% of it is like day in, day out. We're on our hands and knees. We're taking things back and forth to a storage unit. We're popping up in Soho at an incredible Broome Street location and taking over their store. But what does that mean? We're pulling inventory for a week beforehand. We're setting up the store so it looks like a DL store. You know, we're getting people to come work for us.
Wrap the whole thing.
It's like it never ends. And the biggest thing that I've learned is that, you know, it's not like ups and downs by the day. It's ups and downs by the moment. And you just have to kind of like hold on and be in for the ride. The highs are high and the lows are low, but we just have learned to really sort of be more present in the highs and enjoy them.
Yeah. And just to go off of that, a lot of owning your own business is problem solving. And that's probably the biggest thing that when you ask that question, like, what do you learn? It's just like every day is a different problem. What are we going to solve today? And how are we going to have the sister dynamic, but also co-founder dynamic to make those decisions in the, you know, the best lens of the brand, you know? That's probably the biggest thing I think of is problem solving. There's little fires every day we have to put out, and some of them are big, and then it's great when we have a day when we don't have one, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But problem solving, probably.
What does a sister and co-founder relationship look like? How do you kind of, like, close work and go back to family?
Oh my gosh. Well, first off, we just have a really unique relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We realize that it's so unique, and we've always been really close. We have an older sister as well who we're super close with. The three of us girls are very close. But Lizzie's just always been my little like project and my little person and my little, like, I just, am obsessed with her. I can't imagine when I have my own kids one day, because I'll somehow love them more than I love Lizzie. But, like, that's crazy to even think. But we just work really well together. And, like, we always...
That's so beautiful.
Yeah,
it definitely took us a little bit of time to find the footing. Like, I feel like people think that because I'm a dancer, I'm so creative. But really, like, Caroline's the creative, and I'm more of, like, the logic, like, operations person, like, sometimes surprises people. But she's more, like, big picture creative, and I'm more, like, how are we going to take the steps to get that big picture painted and completed?
Yeah.
So... Or our strengths and weaknesses are opposite from
which
one another.
Which is really nice.
Yeah, that's really important.
Yeah, and we both just have the same goal and prioritize our relationship over absolutely everything else.
Yeah, and like Caroline said, we have another sister, and, like, she is so supportive of us, and our whole family dynamic is now, like, DL. Like, our parents are so proud of us. Everything, we always have family chats about where our business is, where we're going, and... It is hard to sometimes separate, like, our dynamic, our sister, you know, sister relationship. We have to make time for that when we're not talking about work, when we're not, you know.
Right? Yeah.
Wouldn't you say? We have to, like, make a little bit of a discernment of when we're not talking work.
Yes, but I also think that if you're owning your own business, there is no such thing as a work-life balance. It does not exist. Anyone that tells you... It's a total lie.
Yeah.
And the
truth. But I also feel like owning your business is, like, part of you. You're just living your dream in a way.
Yeah. Our social life, the people that we hang out with, like, how we choose to spend our time. It's like.
It's a lifestyle.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, but I feel like that's okay too. Like, I'm literally doing this on a lunch break.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, I think if you get older and you sort of, like, understand yourself more and your priorities change, if you are a type of person like the three of us, like you are, like we are, and you want things for yourself and you want a certain life and you see a lot of potential in yourself, then that becomes your lifestyle, not by mistake, but because that's what you really want.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's totally okay.
I agree.
Yeah.
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
So what does your typical day look like?
Oh, gosh. So every day is really, really different. We were manufactured overseas, and they are 11 hours ahead of us. So
We
typically end our days with a meeting and wake up to a meeting. So at about 7 a.m., we'll have emails to go through, production emails, sort of like call outs, edits, anything having to do with samples and fabric and stuff like that. And then at around 8, Lizzie and I will probably work out. We'll take our time to, because that's major for us. It's like the number one thing for both of us, I think. And then after that, a lot of just design meetings, event meetings, brand partnerships. Brand partnerships and in-person events has been a huge part of our brand.
Yeah.
Intention. Our marketing strategy has been very boots on the ground. So having those events and partnerships is really important to us. And then it goes back to, like, operations wholesale. We're expanding into larger retailers now. We just launched on Anthropologie. We have some other ones coming up. So sort of like
managing all
those different accounts. But it always, every day looks different.
Yeah. Some days we're, like, you know, we're lucky enough that we get to create our own schedule, that some days we can wrap up around 5 and feel good about what we've done for the day, minus maybe, like, some stuff on social or keeping our phones on us. But then there are those days where we're on our computers until 10 p.m. just trying to find a solution to the problem that's really can't wait until tomorrow. But, yeah, every day
it
is a little
bit
different.
It ebbs and flows, for sure.
Yeah. It's funny you say that because, I mean – I can't have much to say about the brand I'm building because it hasn't been built yet. But when I was writing my book, the finished product of my book, I remember it was like 2 a.m. and I'm still writing, but I've lost total track of time. Yes. And I didn't want to go to bed. I was, like, enjoying it so much. I'm like, wait, I need to go to bed. I have class tomorrow at 8 a.m.
I have a phrase for that, and you're going to love this. My old boss, who I loved and learned so much from, he would always say, those are called spurts of excellence, and you have to take advantage of them. He would always say, it's not realistic to think that you're going to be productive 100% of the time. You're a human. You're not a robot.
Yeah.
However, when you feel those, like, spurts of excellence coming on where you're like, oh my God, I could go till 2 a.m. and I just have this, like, sort of
buzz about me and creativity, like,
you lean into it.
You lean into that.
Go into it. Yeah, I like that.
Let yourself breathe when you're not having, like, a spurt of excellence, but when you are, like, right until 2 a.m.
Yeah, because then there were seasons of me having stagnation where I'm like, I can't think.
Yeah. That's your,
so I agree. Yeah, because you're human.
Creative people recharge in the downtime. Like, that is just as important to them as the actual creating.
So I want to dive into you starting your business in terms of creating collections, packs, what it looks like from start to finish for all of the listeners who aren't in the fashion industry, who find it so interesting. I worked in fashion all my internships, so I've seen what goes down. The tech packs, like, from start to finish, I've seen it all, and it takes about like a year. But how long does it take for you? Like, what does the process look like?
I mean, yeah, we typically design 9 months prior to when we launch. So something that will launch in March of next year, we've already been designing and sampling. So
yeah,
we really take inspiration from streetwear. You know, Caroline has a really good sense of style and fashion.
You do too.
I know, but I really learn everything from you. So
that's not true. That's not true.
But she does. She knows what she likes, and she knows, like, this would be really cool. Something that is very much streetwear, and be like, how do we make it a little bit more functional for activewear? Something you can sweat in, but then also wear all day, or style to go to drinks in, or whatever it may be. So we really start with, like, filtering ideas of what we'd like to make. And then we do have a technical designer, because we don't create the tech packs ourselves. So we communicate those ideas to her. Caroline sometimes sketches into them for fun. And, like, we pull Pinterest inspo, we pull runway inspo, and then we hop on a meeting with her. We talk through all of it. She'll send us a few different iterations of each piece. So as an activewear brand, we're kind of expected to always do, like, a legging and a sports bra. And then beyond that, we take liberty of what we create. Sometimes it's a long sleeve with an open back. Sometimes it's a onesie. Sometimes it's zipper off cargo pants. And she helps us really nail down details. That'll take, like, 4 rounds of going back and forth.
Yeah, just the designing and the details, just the sketching and stuff.
Yeah. No, I was going to say, how do you choose what style to even launch with? Because you mentioned so many different style ways.
Yeah.
Cargo pants, leggings.
So, yeah. I think the beauty of being sort of like a small independent brand is that we can drop things whenever we want. So we'll typically have certain seasons that we stay on the wholesale, like, buying calendar, so that we're, like, you know, showing for spring or showing for fall, but then in between we have little capsule drops.
Yeah.
We can do. So to your point, like, if we have something more last minute that we kind of thought of off the cuff, we can just do, like, a small drop for that.
Yeah.
But the way that we choose is we're really still trying to find, like, the perfect balance between commercial stuff, like, giving the customer what they want and what we know sells well, but also balancing out, like, really unique pieces that we want to make and we want to wear, because they're not the same.
Right.
And so we're
working
towards 100% us, and, like, judging and details and sort of, like, street and more athletic ready to wear. But then, like, 40%, like, the non-negotiable function, sports bra legging, bike short, top.
And it depends that, you know, sometimes we drop 3 pieces because we feel like it fits as, like, an outfit. And then sometimes we drop 6. It really, like Caroline says, is the beauty of it just being us. We get to decide that. To answer your question.
Yeah. And then you get to learn too.
Totally.
The faster you fail, the faster you learn. Exactly. And, like, as I'm prototyping a bunch of my own products right now, I wear it and then I start to notice patterns when my friends ask me, oh my God, I love that necklace. Where did you get it from? Made it. Oh, you made that too? But I'm noticing these patterns. Well, I made this one actually. But I'm noticing these patterns of, isn't it so cute? Wait, I'll have to show you.
It's so cute.
Turquoise and then, like, a little puka shell, some pearls.
I love that.
Okay, I'm obsessed.
Thank you. So I know this whole entire summer season has been me ideating, creating, just getting my creative juices flowing. But I've been noticing, like, even with the brand name that I have going too, the colorways, the products that I have, this, like, one certain color, all my friends are like, where is that from? Like, oh my gosh. I need to go with this. Like, the more you iterate, put out there, the more you learn, and the better you become at whatever craft you're engaging in.
Totally. And I think the most difficult part about that is giving yourself the grace to account for that learning curve, because when you're an overachiever and when you are somewhat of a perfectionist when it comes to your business in the way that we are, we want to be, you know, the New York City's premier activewear brand overnight. And
so that's
how it works. Yeah. And we need to understand that, like, we're in this for the long haul. This is a marathon
sprint. It's about the journey.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I say to myself too, I'm like, if I didn't go through all these lessons and have all these learnings, the journey wouldn't be fun. Like, it's so fun. Like, I'm learning how fun it is. I'm like, wow. Like, that's an achievement. Check.
I love that. Yeah.
You know?
Definitely.
Because if I were to become, like, the largest beach collection brand in the world, like,
you wouldn't know.
I went from 0 to 100. Where did all the hard work come from and the celebrations?
Totally.
So how do you get over being perfect, or like this like perfectionism mindset? Like,
I think we're just trying to, like Caroline said, give ourselves grace, and we aren't perfect. We're not good at that yet.
Really. I'm not sure. It's really, really difficult because you hold yourself to such a high standard, and I know that we are building, you know, an incredible brand, and we have so much vision for where we want it to go. And, but that stuff takes time. Good things take time. Yeah. And I think, you know, learning a new industry, whether it's retail, fashion, design, tech, I don't know, whatever it is, learning the logistic, like step-by-step, the from concept to strike off to sourcing, to prototype, to sampling, to fit, to production. That's one thing. You can Google all that. You can figure anything out that you want to.
ChatGPT?
Yeah, exactly. You can. Yeah, it's like the actual step by step. You can learn that stuff. But when it comes to the mental game and really believing in what you have and knowing your worth and, you know, maintaining high self esteem even when your confidence is eh, that is, I think, the struggle, and where the perfectionism comes in, and you kind of just have to, like anything else in life, when it comes up, just kind of like be aware of it and have your ways that you cope with it and move on.
Do you have imposter syndrome?
100%. I mean, I'll speak for myself. I don't want to speak for Caroline, but like, did not know anything about retail before starting this brand. Did not know anything about designing before starting this brand. Who gave me the right, you know? Like, obviously it's because we have a vision and we just started and we're good at it. We're good at it. But we didn't go to school for design. We didn't go to school, you know, we don't have a platform already. We're really just two normal girls who loved working out, who are sisters and who wanted to create something that didn't exist, which is an activewear brand that is both functional and fashion forward. So imposter syndrome daily.
Yeah.
We've found mentors both in the fitness space and in the entrepreneurial space that we've clicked with, people that have taken an interest in Caroline and I and actually get what we're building. And we can go to them for questions, whether it's about a marketing strategy, a potential partnership, sourcing better fabrics. Like, there's people we have mostly through meeting them in New York, I'd say 9 times out of 10, or someone connecting us, which now we keep in mind and do for other people, because that always, an introduction goes a long way. And we've really just built 5 to 10, like maybe like 5 people we really go to when we have questions.
Yeah. But I think, like, to your point about expanders, that is like the good part about social media, for me at least, is that I can see myself and other people who are, you know, 10, 15 years ahead. Mm. And I have become much more intentional with the people that I follow and the people that I sort of like allow in. Not saying that I like unfollow other people, but like, you can mute them. That's okay. If like, that's
good
for you. And like, you don't need to be seeing all of that all the time. You need to like keep your eye on the prize a little bit. And like, it's tough, but if you see someone else doing something or wanting something that you want for yourself in 10 years, like, it's great for you to see that, to your point.
Yeah.
That is
really. And then also that goes to the point where it's like, if you're trying to build something, like, entrepreneurship is a lifestyle. Yeah. It's something that's ingrained in you. So, you know, if your community is also, or also has the same goals and values as you,
mm-hmm. yeah.
you shouldn't feel like you're working. It's like you're all a community working together.
It's so true. It's so true. We're really lucky to have built such an incredible, like, group of people and community that we work with. And it's just starting to, like, shape into something like that, where it feels like we're surrounding ourselves with all those types of people. But when you start out, you have all of these thoughts in your head of, like, what are people going to think? Or, you know, do I think she's seeing what I'm posting on social media? All of a sudden, you know, I'm posting about my business, like, Susie Q from home in the eighth grade didn't like me, and now I have a business. Like, I don't want her seeing everything. It's like,
wait. You literally have to
put that down. Yeah. You really do.
Yeah. I, you know, this is what I went through too. Is like, oh, are people going to judge me? And now I look at it, I'm like, wait, I'm so glad I didn't listen to anyone but myself, because these people actually come to me now. They're like, how did you do it?
So true.
Like, especially with the book, they're like, how did you do it? Like, you podcast? Like, you do all this stuff? I'm like, yeah.
They're
like, that's amazing. How did you do it? Well, I just started. Like, so now they look at me with admiration versus me having this crazy imposter syndrome, not thinking I could do it, and a fear of being judged, like being bullied when I was in elementary, middle school, high school. I was like, I don't, who cares? Because it's your life. It's like your gift to, like, be here. Right. So I want to segue into challenges, because we only have 10 more minutes left of your time. What are some challenges you have faced through your journey, and how we overcome them?
Our fair share of production challenges. Yeah. We started this business during the pandemic. It happened to be a global supply chain crisis. We knew absolutely nothing about the supply chain. We had hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of product, you know, stuck on a cargo ship waiting to get into the country.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And it was uninsured. So we learned a lot there.
So you lost a lot of money? Did all that?
It ended up making its way through the country. But
it was just stuck on a boat in the port of Newport, California for like
8 months.
Yeah.
I would have been like, I'm coming.
We tried. And then we were like, we had all this stuff planned about, like, we're like, no, we're like shooting for our website. Like, we need come shoot. Like, we need this stuff. And they're like, okay, well, Nike has their stuff on this same boat and they've postponed their photo shoot. So I think you guys can postpone your, we're like, noted.
Got it. We will postpone.
We saw like Nike or someone doing their shoot. And we were like, what happened? And our girlfriend that actually shoots for Nike, she said that they flew private jets to the cargo ship and actually picked up the product and shipped it back. And we're like, okay, so we couldn't have done that. Not yet, but...
Your private jet was commercial.
Yeah, right. Like, our private jet was, like, broken that day. So, like, we couldn't
do
that, but good for Nike, and we'll see you in 10 years. But... that was a huge issue. There's always, in terms of like production, and sometimes there's stuff happens with your manufacturer and it turns out in a way that you didn't want it to. And we've had to pull batches of production, and that's like a huge loss money wise for us.
Yeah. Speaking about Nike, how do you deal with competition?
I personally don't really think that we have direct competition.
Yeah, I think we put ourselves in like a different category that doesn't even really exist yet, to be honest. Like, we're activewear, but we're also ready to wear. And wouldn't you say? Like,
yeah, I just think that if you, yes, obviously there's so many other like activewear brands. I get that.
Is there a female owned?
No, it's just about like us and
sister,
like our brand.
Yeah, female sister that has like a different perspective on activewear.
Yeah, I wouldn't compare us to anyone else, and I feel like that is sort of the difference. But you know, you have to make sure that like your product is up to par, and like we're always perfecting the product. The product is the number one priority. And then, you know, our designs, the integrity of our designs, the integrity of our brand, cultivating a really organic and authentic, engaged community. Building relationships and just leaning into sort of our story and our relationship is, I think, what sets us apart.
Yeah. I love that. And last question I asked my guests, what makes you feel powerful?
For me, it's really feeling strong in my own body and my own being, whether that be physically strong, mentally strong, and connecting with other people. That's what makes me feel powerful.
Definitely keeping promises to myself is what makes me feel powerful. If I think of the times in my life where I've felt most powerful, it was when I was prepared and I had kept every promise to myself along the way that led me to that moment. Whether it's something as silly as like, I said I was gonna, you know, make these new relationships or work on this during this time or work out during this time. Like every single small promise that you keep to yourself builds confidence over time. And the more confident I feel is kind of when I feel the most powerful, for sure.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for listening to that episode. I appreciate your support and for making it this far. If you enjoyed it, make sure you give this podcast a 5-star review, leave a comment, and also DM me at AlexisUC on Instagram. If you have a special guest you want to be on the PowerPod, or if you want to be on the PowerPod yourself, I would love to learn more. Okay, enjoy your week. Bye.